Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On my first night at the Iona Abbey, the worship service was built around the theme of welcome. We are about halfway through the service when the worship leader asks us to find and talk to someone we don't know. I find my way over to one of the ladies from Glasgow. She smiles at me. "Well," says she, "what's my name then?" Only moments before, when we'd been gathered in the cozy common room for a cup of tea, I'd made quite a production of memorizing the names of all the ladies, and I thought I'd done a good job. But there were 13 of them. Margaret, I said. She looked disappointed. "I'm sorry," I said, "I've forgotten." "My name is Jean," she says. Jean is probably about 10 years older than myself. She has straight blonde hair that goes down a little ways past her shoulders. Her generous face is weathered by care, but it is also creased with the evidence of smiling. She has enjoyed lightly ribbing me for forgetting her name. But her smile changes a bit as she tells me why she's there. It doesn't go away, the smile, but it is no longer an expression of pleasure alone. It is something much more than that. "It was the alcohol that did it," she says. "Some of theirs," she gestures at the other ladies, "were overdoses, some were mentally ill. For most of them, it was suicide. But my son wasn't any of that. It was alcohol. He just drank himself to death." Each one of the 13 women has lost a child. That is part of what has brought them together. There is something about Jean's face when she tells me these things. As this old pain returns to her, this familiar pain that has become a part of her story, part of her body. She changes somehow. She cannot speak of it without being altered in a subtle way. Maybe it's in her eyes, how she brushes aside her bangs so that they catch a little of the candlelight. Perhaps it is in her mouth, which holds a smile, not with effort, but with a resignation that is all too well known. There is no use avoiding the pain, but it can't be invoked without casting its own spell. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but something in her has changed, softened, deepened. Of the 19 guests at the Abbey this week, 13 of them are these remarkable women from Glasgow. A group that call themselves the Kindred Carers. They have found each other because they share the deepest pain that it is possible for a parent to know, the death of a child. They are united in this loss. But that is not all. Theirs is not merely a community of grieving, it is also, as the name suggests, a community of care. You see, each of these women is not just a mother, they are also grandmothers. And each responded to the loss of their child by taking in and raising their orphaned grandchildren. Each of these ladies steadfastly refused to allow the children of their lost children to be abandoned. And these grandchildren, you must understand, these kids are the most at-risk children. Many of these children are born into the world with heroin addiction. Many have survived neglect and abuse before they found their way to safety. It is these children, the most at-risk children, that the ladies have provided for. The good ladies of Glasgow, I call them, have not just given them a family through kindred carers, they have given them a community of grannies and also of kids their own age. This community, this humble group of women, they are the safety net that has saved a whole generation of children. This morning, with Owen and Amy's excellent assistance, we have joined together to light the Advent candle of love. The Advent candle of love is the final candle that we light before we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. And I don't know about you, but I can't help wondering if this is one of those save the best for last scenarios. Does the order of the Advent candle lighting suggest a kind of crescendo as such, in which hope and peace and joy gather up all their goodness in service of love? This makes a certain amount of sense to me, especially if you think of it in terms of being a kind of liturgical expression of what St. Paul famously said in 1 Corinthians, that faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. The idea behind the Advent candle lighting liturgies might be that it is only after we find our way to love that we can finally welcome Jesus, who was born, lived, and died for its sake. As a minister, this places a lot of weight on this morning's sermon. If it's all building up to this moment, it better be a good one. Of course, this fourth Sunday of Advent is hardly the only time I preach about love, is it? In fact, if it is possible for a minister to preach about love a bit too much, I may be guilty of being that minister. I am emboldened in this to preach over and over about love, that is, because my faith life depends more than anything else on Jesus Christ's core message that love, as messy and hard as it is the only real way to achieve a world of justice and peace. I really like the message that I put on the UCJ website. A couple of sentences that I wrote one night in about 5 minutes many years ago, almost without thinking, that subsequently has become central to my theological outlook and my life as a minister. It goes like this: The United Church of Jaffrey is a community based on the idea that we are created by and for love. This notion may be idealistic, but it's not naive, it's challenging. To accept and to live by the core belief that love is the eternal and abiding principle that guides our lives is not easy. Love is not easy. Love is the hardest thing that any of us will ever do. The good ladies of Glasgow know this. When they heard the knock on their doors, the one that told them that their children were dead, it was love that was coming to rip the hearts out of their bodies, destroy them utterly, and leave them in complete desolation. Nothing is harder than losing a child. And love is what makes this loss utterly and completely unacceptable. And yet, there can be no question that it is love also that restores life. All you need to do is look at the picture on the front of today's bulletin to know this. Not with your mind, but with your heart. Love makes the loss of life unbearable. But it is love also that brings new hope into the world. The infant child, the ultimate expression of hope, renewal, innocence, and possibility. By all accounts, Zechariah, the man in today's reading from the opening chapter of the Gospel of Luke, is a fortunate man. Well, by almost all accounts. Zechariah is well positioned in society. He is one of the priests in the temple, and as such, he is one of the very few people who is trusted to enter the sanctuary and attend to the rituals that are so crucial to defining Jewish identity. In social and religious terms, then, Zechariah is a central character. He is not on the sidelines. And yet there is something missing in his life. There is a hole. For both him and his wife, Elizabeth, who are getting on in years, they've had to accept a sad reality. They will never be parents. And then, one day, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing by the right side of the table of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Zechariah is to become the father of John the Baptist. The birth deserves this angelic heralding because, of course, the child, John, is to be no ordinary child. The angel tells Zechariah that his son will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born, and that he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. This is not trivial stuff. The language that is being spoken here is big language. Through John's influence, people will be brought back to God, and not just a handful of people. John's influence is to be over the people of Israel. And how will John achieve this? What important thing will John do that will influence the nation of people to return to God? Will he mobilize a massive army on its borders and start firing missiles at the energy infrastructure just before the cold weather sets in? No. John would never think of doing such a thing. Will he sneak into everyone's houses and fill their stockings with candy? No, that might be nice, but that was not part of John's plan. Maybe he will buy a massive online social network and flail about until his ego spins out of control and the whole thing goes up into disintegrates before our eyes. Thankfully, no, John will not do that. He's not so magnificently foolish. In this passage, the angel tells us what John will do. Are you ready for this? In order to bring the people of Israel back to God, John will use the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children. Turn the hearts of parents to their children. Jean admits that she hasn't been feeling well lately. She tells me that she almost didn't come to this retreat. At the last minute, her daughter convinced her to go, to take some time for herself. I can see as I listen to her that this time that these ladies are taking on Iona is incredibly precious to them. Their lives are an endless cycle of work and care. They never stop. They never take time for themselves. They are working class ladies who scratch out a living in one of the most impoverished parts of Scotland. But there is something that I don't quite understand about this situation. And I ask her, I said, Jean, if you're here, then who's taking care of your grandson? Oh, she says with a big smile, he's 18 now. He's off to college. College. Jean's grandson, the most at-risk child in Scotland, is in college. He's in college. This is the power and the reality of love. A love that heroin and alcohol and mental illness and suicide cannot destroy. A love that prevails against all odds and brings us all back to God. Amen.